This is Mike Lafferty again for the Vigilance Podcast, talking to Dan Houser, the famous Dan Houser. Hey, Dan. Also known as Alien Mastermind on the Mutants and Masterminds board, who is the line artist, among other things, for Icons, the new hit Supers game from Adamant Entertainment that was written by Mr. Steve Kenson. So, Dan, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Doing well.
So what are you doing? Go ahead,
Zach. Oh, right now I'm drinking Foster's from a can.
All right. I'm still drinking red wine from a box because I'm classy.
Yeah, I'm classy as well. Giant oil can of beer.
So you're set. So, hey, it's a zombie apocalypse. Where do you hide out?
Well, I've heard you ask this question before. I do live in central Wisconsin, so there's a place called House on the Rock, which is this giant warehouse full of insane things.
Yeah, that was in American Gods.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would hide somewhere in the old dentistry section or right next to where they have all the armor and armament for the medieval the medieval section because, you know, a sword never runs out of bullets.
Damn, Dan, you put some thought into this whole zombie situation.
You know, since I was 8, I've been terrified of the idea of zombies. So, believe me, I've thought of every scenario where it could possibly even just somebody has a cold and they're coming after me already.
So what scared you so bad when you were 8 about zombies?
Well, we went to a drive-in, and my folks took me to see a double feature of, I believe it was Dawn of the Dead and Scarface. Scarface was the primary feature, but my dad was there to see Dawn of the Dead because he'd never seen it out at a drive-in. So we were in central Michigan at the time. It was the middle of the night, so you can imagine as we're driving past the darkened mall on the way home, all I'm thinking of is Tom Savini on that motorcycle chopping people's heads off.
Oh, nice.
So that, so there you go. It's a very formative experience.
Well, and you'll be well prepared if it ever happens. So.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
28 days later, you're the man.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully.
Hey, so how'd you get involved with Icons?
Well, I had worked with Gareth before on Villainomicon for Adamant Entertainment. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of the art for that one. And when I saw that he was going to be doing another Supers book with Steve Kenson, I threw a line out there to Gareth and said, hey, if you're looking for any artists, I'd be happy to throw some art in for you. You know, we'd work together. And he knew of, like, I guess, and you know, I've got a pretty good turnaround time. And,
oh, God, it's amazing, yeah.
And basically just said, hey, I'm willing to throw in for it. And what he told me was they weren't looking for a bunch of artists. They were looking for one artist. So I said, well, I'd like to give it a shot. I can try. He goes, well, the reason why he would even consider me was because of my turnaround time, because they needed a cover to show for the distribution and to give to people an idea of what the cover's going to look like. And in fact, I talked to you just before that. I told you I was doing a project mm-hmm. for Adamant again, and you'd asked what it was, and I couldn't tell you. So when you saw the little artwork by Dan Houser thing, and I guess that kind of spilled the beans. But yeah, the cover with All-American Girl is kind of the central point. That's what I showed him first was more based on the New Frontier, the DC mm-hmm. kind of thing. But then I went with the one that I did, based kind of on the Batman animated series, very simple red backgrounds fading into black, you know, and then essentially that's how it started. I showed him the picture, the idea of the picture that I had, and then because I was able to crank out an actual, you know, a workable, something that we could work with in a short period of time, Gareth was happy with what he saw, and he was hoping that more would come out of it, so yeah, he hired me up, sent over the contracts, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Sweet. Hey, so is everyone on the cover explained or gone into in the books, or do they have stats for all those characters?
Okay, no, but I did create a cheat sheet for Steve, and I can pull that up here while we're talking. We can actually, if you have any questions about those people on the cover, hopefully you have a copy of the book.
It's Icons
by Steve Kenson. It's on sale right now. You can actually pick it up.
Well, I was actually in the pre-order.
Oh, awesome. Did you take advantage of Wave Zero?
In fact, I did. You drew a couple characters for me, and that was a very positive experience. I'd recommend it to everyone.
Well, thanks.
But yeah, I was just this guy here in the lower right-hand corner of the cover, purple and, I guess, burgundy. Yeah, what's his name?
That's actually Punch. He's just regular Punch. I actually did another character called Mr. Punch for Charles Phipps,
uh-huh.
which was based more on of a – a villain archetype. He's more like an evil, cosmically powered clown. This one is he's kind of an adventurer scientist who has kind of the Vision's powers, basic super strength and phasing. And the clown woman that you see bouncing mm-hmm. in the foreground, that's Electric Judy. That's a robot that he built.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
So there are stories.
Are you guys going to be going to that in some of the supplements? Or?
I know that I gave the stuff over to Steve. He wanted some info. He just, as he was writing flavor text and stuff, I gave everything that I had on them. So I don't know if Steve's planning on doing that. I know that he's got another module coming out and is looking to add. If he's looking to add characters, I mean, he's got a bunch.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, I was just wondering about that. So you were also in the playtest for Icons, right?
I ran my own playtest. I actually asked Gareth if it would be okay to run with a group locally to me. And I did with Paul Vogt and his wife, his brother, and their friend. That's the Hopeless Gamer blog mm-hmm. guy.
That's just hopelessgamer.blogspot.com?
That's correct, yeah. Okay. And they've been excited about Icons since day one. When I saw over at RPGNet that he was local to me, like literally within like 10 minutes of my house, I was like, well, this would be just ridiculous not to get together with a gaming group and, you know, and just game with them. So I got them to sign the non-disclosure agreement, and we ran through a module that I'm working on for release later in the year.
Oh, okay, cool. So what was the playtest like? What was your experience with Icons? How did it differ from, say, Mutants and Mastermind or Champions or something like that?
You know, every time I've talked about Icons, about when I'm trying to sell it to my other gaming groups, they're like, well, why should we play this and not Mutants and Masterminds? I said, because we'll be playing today. You know, we won't be sitting down and for 45 minutes creating characters. Though that is a great part of Mutants and Masterminds. And I am so super psyched to give Green Ronin, like, all my money in August.
Yeah, you and me both.
At Gen Con. I'm like, yeah. My wallet's going to be crying. But that part of Mutants and Masterminds I really did love. But Icons, it's literally, if you have two copies of the book, you won't have a problem getting four people characters made. Not to mention, Gareth mentioned, finally, thank goodness, now I can talk about it. He mentioned over at the RPG.net boards that we're having a character generator.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Java-based. And it literally breaks down, and I've tried using it, the beta version. It makes making a randomly rolled character take literally 1 second. It's one click, bang, you have a character.
Wow, that's a beautiful thing.
Oh, man. I'm thinking in the huge giant picture. Like, imagine if that was an iPhone app. You know, you could run that at a con. You could have all your characters just press that button and go, okay, that's your character, write it down. Press the button, okay, that's your character, write it down. But, yeah, the speed and ease of play was probably the most striking thing about it. As far as the game is concerned, what's really great is that I don't, as a GM, I don't have to do anything. And I love GMing Supers games. It's like one of my passions. So as a GM, I don't roll dice, you know. It becomes all about the characters, and so therefore the players get more into it.
I mean, oh, okay. Well, yeah, it's like I was talking to Steve. He kind of mentioned it was sort of like a party game. I mean, just that easy to pick up and go. Oh, sweet, sweet. Well, hey, I got the book in front of me here right now. We want to roll up a character just to show people how easy it is.
Oh, sure. Do you want me to cheat, or do you want me to actually roll a character? Because I could press that one button and have one for you. Oh, I hear your dice. Okay, all right.
All right, well, we can go either way, man. We can do it old school, or, you know. All right.
Old school.
Old school. All right, so on the origin table, I'm rolling 2d6.
Right, and just a second, let me pull up my copy.
That's okay, I got two. I got a 5. Sure. Bum, 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 bum. This is the Dan getting his book.
Oh, no, go ahead. Read off, because you've actually got it open, but I'm pulling it up as well as we speak.
Oh, that's cool. I got a 5, so that means I'm transformed. The hero was a normal human, became superhuman through outside agency, often an accident or experiment. One of the character's abilities or powers, your choice, is increased by +2. So, kind of like what happened to the Flash, basically.
Absolutely.
Okay, let me throw that over here into this file. So we got origin, transformed. All right, and next, that's page 10, page 11, page 12. All right, so abilities. What all we got for abilities?
Give me just a moment here. I'm still looking okay. for it. I've got everything piled up in this one folder. full of icons goodness. It's literally all in one area. You'd be surprised. Like, I'm really fast, but everything is in one place for some things. I just don't. I just don't know how I do it sometimes.
And let's go on to step three, which is number of powers. So let's roll and see what we get. And I got a 6, which means 3 powers. So let's write that down. So we get 3 powers. And we'll go on to the next step. Power types. So we get to roll 3 times, right?
Yes.
All right. So first time, we've got an 11. So we've got sensory.
Okay.
And now we've got a 5, so we've got control. And 6, so we have defensive. So sensory, control, and defense.
Sensory, control, and defense. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's go and look and see what the sensory power is. Pulling it up right this. I've got it open now. I'm just.
Okay.
Getting to the actual page. What page are you on?
Sensory powers are on page 14.
14. Okay. All right. Go ahead and roll for your sensory.
Okay. First D6 was 5. So that puts us in the second row. Mm-hmm. And it's 5 and 5. So we get precognition.
Ooh, that's one of the fun GM powers.
Yep. So
that's a good one. All
so
right.
Precog. And let's go over to the control table, which I think is
back a page.
Back one page, yeah.
Yep.
All right, so first D6 gives us a 1. Second D6 is a 3, so we have elemental control.
Nice. All right, any ideas on elements, or you want to wait until you've got all your...
Let's wait till we get everything, because right now I got nothing.
okay.
And let's go to defense and see what that looks like. All right, so first D6 is a 6. Second D6 is a 4, so we have regeneration.
Regeneration. So regeneration, precognition, and elemental control.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, let's do... do we have the abilities handy?
The abilities. I should have them here.
Suppose I could just pull up one of those character sheets from the pre-order pack.
Absolutely, could do that.
If I was a smarter man.
If we were in the least bit prepared for this, it would be
that gets us away from the whole
there's do-it-yourself thing.
Yeah, this is real, yo. We're not fun.
Keeping it real on the streets where we roll our dice.
Because we're old school like that. We're
Oh, yeah.
All right, all right, all right. So I got up your the villain pack that came out with the pre-order.
Oh, nice. Yeah, a lot of those are actually from the Villain Omicron for Mutant Masterminds, which we're actually going to re-release, according to Gareth. There's going to be another Villain Omicron coming out.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
A bunch more villains.
So we have prowess, coordination, strength, intellect, awareness, and willpower. So, all right, let's go over here. And... All right, where's the ability table?
It's back a bit. I'm getting it. I'm pulling it up now.
Okay. Oh, there it is. All right. So let's roll for powers. So 2d6.
Mm-hmm.
Roll to 4. So prowess is going to be 3. So... And after prowess, what do we got? We got coordination.
Coordination.
So let's roll that. We got 6, so that's going to be 4. Okay, after coordination, what do we have? Strength.
Strength.
And that's going to be 9. So strength of 6, so that's top human level, right?
Correct.
Okay. After strength, what do we got? We got awareness, intellect, awareness, and willpower. So, intellect, we've got 4, so that's going to be 3. So I'm not that bright. For awareness, roll 12. So I'm aware as hell.
Oh, yes. Hence precognition.
Ah, there we go. I got an 8 in awareness. So we're down to our last one, and that was willpower.
Willpower.
And let's see if the fates are kind. And I get a 9, so that gives us 6 in willpower.
Okay.
So here's what
That's
we
get. Fairly good.
Yeah. So the basics are we have a papyrus, which is, I guess, fighting, of 3, coordination of 4. So I'm about average in that. Strength is 6, so it's top of the line human. Intelligence is 3, so I'm not idiot. Awareness, boy, I'm aware. I'm 8, and willpower is pretty high, too. Powers are precognition, elemental control, and regeneration. Any concepts leaping out at you, Dan? Because I'm kind of drawing a blank right now.
Precognition and regeneration.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's look at the elements that you can't that are available for control.
Okay, we got to go down to the power section for that, right?
Yep.
Okay, you got a page number on that?
Give me just a moment here. I'll pull that up really quick. And that is elemental control, you said?
Elemental control, yeah.
Yeah, if you're looking on your PDF, there's the bookmarks to the left.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's pretty well bookmarked.
Oh, I didn't even realize that. Okay.
Yep. It's a page 37 on the PDF, or 36 in the book.
Sweet. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, so let's roll for that, huh?
Absolutely.
I got a 3 and a 3.
3 and a 3. Okay, let's take a look. Well,
am I off the chart?
3 and a 3. Well, I think what they want are... Huh, that is kind of strange, why there are no 3s. I haven't...
It looks like the first number can only be
first
a 1 or a 2.
One of the first 6 or one of the second 6. So, 1, 2, or 3, 4, 5, or 6. So
oh,
a 3, so it's a 2. It's the second set of 1.
Gotcha.
Second set of 3 numbers.
Okay, my bad.
Yeah, 3 and a 3, it's radiation.
Radiation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're looking like
that.
That
actually gave me an idea for an origin anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because you said it was accidental, kind of like the Flash. Maybe something like Dr. Manhattan, where he can see through time because he was involved in a radioactive mishap.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, man, that he put himself back together and explains regeneration, like Dr. Manhattan had.
Exactly.
So,
and then the radiation. Then we can add some nice challenges to that.
I think I have
pants, that kind of thing.
Never wears pants. Wears short shorts. I think I have an epithet for him. The fourth dimensional man.
Nice. Very nice.
Okay, so where are we at? We need to do specialty determination, right?
Correct.
Okay, and let's go back up to hero creation.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we do special? Do we just basically roll and then pick?
Specialties. There is a table, and I think it's on the list starts on page 24.
Okay.
And you rolled how many specialties?
Haven't rolled specialties yet.
Okay. Let's go back to hero creation. And it should give us the specialty determination under this. You know what's great about this book?
What's that?
The fact that my JPEGs cause them to move so slowly on my computer.
I was seeing a similar thing.
Yeah, if I scroll on mine, it's like, oh man, give me my hard copy. In fact, I'm gonna cheat here. I'm gonna grab the copy that I made for myself, my NDA paper copy that I used for our game that we had here. So bear with me just a second. I'm gonna pull that up over here. And
I've got 3 specialties.
Awesome. Okay, let's go to where the specialties are.
So we're thinking this guy was a. We're thinking he was some kind of scientist, like Dr. Manhattan, who had an accident. So let's see. So we probably want science, maybe electronics.
Yeah. I would say quantum physics because he has precognition.
Okay, sounds good. So, specialties, science, quantum physics, okay. Maybe mental resistance.
Okay. That would reflect by the high willpower and...
Yeah.
And the awareness.
So that's two. What else do we need?
Now, don't forget you can buy higher levels of these specialties.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. I'll tell you, why don't we just stick with two then and give him maybe an expert level in mental resistance.
Okay.
So you basically it's just you have it, then you're an expert, and what's the third level?
Master.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So why don't we just say he's got science or quantum physics that explains some background, he's got mental resistance at an expert level. Okay, so I did that. So that's special determination. So now we have stamina, background, and description. So stamina is your willpower plus your strength?
Correct.
Okay, so in that case, that's going to be 6 plus 6, so 12. So he's no slouch. Determination is number of powers minus 6, or 6 minus number of powers. So we get 3 powers, so determination, sort of like hero points and mutants and masterminds, that's 3.
Mm-hmm. In fact, for me, it goes all the way back to that game Adventure. It was the first iteration of the White Wolf Trinity, the game Trinity.
Yeah.
I actually had a lot of fun with Adventure and Aberrant both. But our thing was all about the metagame. We almost never played. We would just sit around and discuss like the awesome like 50 pages of meta stuff at the beginning of Aberrant, and we had all sorts of awesome theories about what was going on. It was so great. But yeah, when Adventure came out, they had those plot point kind of things that you could use, where you'd spend those like hero points later on. And so ever since that concept was introduced to me, I loved that idea. They also used it in Saga.
You know, I think there's an awful lot of people with White Wolf who just kind of appreciated the meta and did not. I mean, I know we were playing Werewolf pretty heavy back in the 90s, and that was, you know, half the fun was just talking about, you know, the world, what was going on.
Right.
And a lot of time, I mean, your actual game almost never touched on, you know, all the detail they had in their books, because you were
exactly
running around suburban Indianapolis killing vampires or worm spawn or whatever you're doing. But I think like a lot of gaming books, they almost work. You know, they almost work as reading material as well as gaming material, which I guess from what Steve and Gareth have said, that was something they're trying to get away from with Icons, was sort of get back to, you know, a slim RPG that focuses on playing and let the players kind of create their world.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Again, with the module that I'm doing, it came about talking with a friend of mine who's very good at coming up with actual nuts and bolts and the writing of an adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would say that 99% of the writing on this is his. I've just got like a couple ideas for characters and stuff to add to it. And one of them was my first randomly rolled character, which was the Atomic Roach.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where that was based, was the Atomic Roach gave me an idea for some of the stuff. And so I randomly rolled a villain and came up with the Terror Pin.
Oh, I saw him on the forum, yeah.
Yeah, he's not in the book. but that's okay. I'm not worried about that. He will be added to the module, though. I hope. Poor guy, striking out twice because he looks like a goof. His power's really good. I mean, he can absorb anything. He's got his little turtle shell.
That explains why he's a villain.
Yeah, well, I love doofy old guys who find this awesome bit of hardware and then become supervillains. like everyone in Spider-Man's universe is pretty much just this old scientist who decides, you know what? I'm using science for whatever I want. Like the Vulture is like, I got flying wings. Yeah, I'm 90. I don't care. I'm flying around. And then,
you know,
Dr. Octopus.
Dick Cheney would make a great Spider-Man villain.
Oh, man. Just imagine. He gets. I think he would be a better Iron Man villain because I'd like to see him as MODOK. His face with those little baby arms and baby legs. That would be awesome. And imagine you see that come flying down your street. Oh man, you would pass out. There would be no helping you. No amount of hero points, that's for sure. You would wake up on his table. That's all that would happen.
Oh, that's bad. That's bad. boy, two words that'll break your mind. MODOK porn.
Oh man!
All right, we said it. Let's leave it behind and move on. Let's talk about background for this character.
Okay.
All right, we have decided he's kind of a Dr. Manhattan type. He's working at a nuclear reactor, doing, you know, maybe he's working at the Large Hadron Collider in Europe, and wacky stuff happens, and he gets disintegrated, but his consciousness hangs out and he's able to reassemble himself from particles. So we're talking Dr. Manhattan, so that explains kind of the powers of precognition, regeneration, and what was the third power we had?
Elemental control.
Elemental control. It controls radiation. Mm-hmm. Challenges. We already had doesn't wear pants.
Right.
Because, you know, he's kind of beyond social concerns anymore. So
you're really going to make pantsless adventurer? That's awesome.
Well, this is the fun
of Dr. Hieronymus Wang. Why is he called that? Well, I guess you can imagine. His actual name is Hieronymus Jenkins, but we changed his name.
Hieronymus Jenkins, a.k.a. Hieronymus
Dr. Wang. No, that's not good.
That's terrible. We can't.
I don't think we should edit that out because it's really funny, but we shouldn't make that his name.
We can say he doesn't wear a shirt. Make him PG-13.
Or just make him like a Ken doll. He's just floating around. He's just this humanoid form.
Okay, so that's a social challenge, right? Or a personal
yes.
challenge?
It would be social because it's his interaction with other people.
Okay.
Personal would be as if he liked being a blue naked guy.
Okay, so social is bizarre appearance.
Correct.
Personal is his ostracization from his previous life.
Correct. He can't really connect with those people. You can also give him as a challenge. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking Sigma 9 from the villain section would be a good arch villain mm-hmm. because he was a French robot built by a French supervillain.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine he's just going about his business trying to snatch some awesome quark-based energy reactor thing from, this is of course in a comic book universe where that would be real. He's trying to break into that place and it blows up part of the collider, which is what caused you to become the superhero. Very 1988 DC movie.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Villain meets the hero kind of thing.
Okay, but, sounds good. So Sigma 9 caused the accident that created, what's the superhero name going to be? Dr. Quark?
Dr. Quark does work. That is really good, actually.
Okay, Dr.
And
Quark.
Stolen.
The fourth dimensional man.
That is cool.
Does that work as an epithet? Or is that
yes, that absolutely does. Yeah.
Okay.
You'd probably want to tag that when you're doing your precognition shtick.
Okay, tag for precognition to give you a bonus on those kind of rolls.
Right.
Okay. Cool. All right, so we've got social, bizarre appearance, personal, he's ostracized from previous friends and family because he's a slow, naked, blue guy who can relate to him. Enemy is Sigma 9, who caused the accident at the Large Hadron Collider that gave him his powers.
Mm-hmm.
Epithet, the fourth dimensional man.
Mm-hmm.
Catchphrase.
Catchphrase.
You got one?
Hey, look at my junk. No. Imagine getting points for that. Quickly
yeah.
devolving your very serious character generation into something.
I think that's the nature of icons. Is it kind of enables lighthearted character creation, if you will.
And I will interject that without icons, I would not appreciate Batman, the Brave and the Bold. Like I wouldn't appreciate that cartoon as much as I do now because I was looking at it for like suggestions of how to draw things and. That cartoon made me love the idea of catchphrases and Aquaman again. I hadn't liked Aquaman since I was like 4 watching Super Friends. But now I'm like, man, I like the new Aquaman. This guy should be in the comics. The not self-aware king of the sea who really likes getting into dust-ups with whoever.
Yeah, I saw one episode with him, the one with Ryan Choi, the Atom.
Yeah.
Called him up. He's like, hey there, old friend. Me and Batman have a little problem. He's shipping some bilge.
I also like when he says, you need to come here quick and help him. He's like, do you know what kind of doctor I am? Yes, a
hero doctor. Through and through.
Oh, man. Show works on so many levels for me.
You know, I'm really surprised it does for me, too, because I was expecting to hate it. But,
oh, me too. Man, I wanted to. I was like, oh, this is going to be so... A lightsaber... Oh man, here it comes!
But
first episode, Clock King and a lightsaber. But at the end, it wears it on its sleeve. It says, "Okay, look, you're about to see Buona Beast, all right? Okay, you're about to see a guy who could make an elephant and a pigeon the same animal, and take on their powers."
You know, I think what it was we got so much of grim and gritty Batman that at some point, without even realizing, we'd sort of had enough. And, you know, we can kind of, you know, go back to, well, actually, this is a kind of a cooler and hipper reinterpretation of, you know, 1960s Batman. Right. I think we're ready for that after, you know, all the movies and, you know, the animated series and, you know, Arkham Asylum and mm-hmm. all that stuff. I think we're ready for something a little lighter hearted.
And I think that's kind of where it's being leaning to now in the Batman series, where Batman went back in time. Like, yeah. Right there, that's like classic, like, late 70s, you know, funky Batman stuff going on. That's not quite the... You can still see the 60s Batmobile from where you're standing, but you know that Batman is now doing cooler things, like when he's fighting werewolves and Man-Bat. Like, that kind of Batman I really did like, where he was a detective, and he was realistic-looking, but he always was put into really crazy situations.
Yeah, I remember Grant Morrison saying his idea was to make the current Batman reality such that all the stories that ever happened in the 50s and 60s could have actually happened in current continuity. You know, where just random wacky stuff happens, like, hey, this month Batman and Robin are wearing kilts and they're in ancient Scotland, you know, and it was, that's what he's trying to do. I guess it's part of his mission to kind of, like, try to bring the wacky parts of the Silver Age, sort of the mm-hmm. same way he resurrected crypto, you know, into modern awareness.
You read Final Crisis, right?
I haven't done LSD in, like, 10 years. And I think if maybe I was still tripping regularly like I was in college, it would have made a lot more sense to me.
All I know is that I was so into Identity Crisis. I wanted Shadow Pact to be one of the best comics on Earth. I was so invested into that version of the DC Universe where all of the stuff tied together and all of it was really wacky and awesome. And then I read Final Crisis. I'm like, what?
Final Crisis kind of broke that. Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's like from a guy like Grant Morrison, I was like, no, you didn't make Darkseid the bad guy again. I thought it was going to be something inventive. You know, I thought it was going to be somebody better. I don't know. Like,
Clock King.
And comes back to be the bad guy. Clock King would have been sweet. Only he's now, like, the Grant Morrison version where he controls all of time and space with his little tiny clocks. Although I think that isn't that Cronus? Like, wasn't that the 80s version of Clock King?
Or wasn't that the 90s version of Our Man?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was into when the deep continuity too. Like 52, I thought was great. The way kind of tied into it, and 1 year later, I thought was pretty cool. But it's kind of shot that horse at this point, I think.
Yep. I think it's such a good thing going with 52. Although 52 made me really angry because it proved that they could do a comic a week.
Apparently, it almost killed them. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what. I've got 99 cents that says I want a comic every week. Work harder.
I would, it's not
as hard as I do.
No one works as hard as you do, Dan. All right, James Brown. He's the James Brown of game. He's the James Brown of gaming, ladies and gentlemen. He's Dan Houser.
The godfather of soul as well.
So do you have a catchphrase for Dr. Quark? Because I've still got nothing.
Time for justice.
Well, I got nothing better.
So. Well, he's the fourth dimensional man.
Time for justice.
As he leaps into battle.
Let's put a pin on that one and come back to it, but we'll go for that now. I think we're done. I think we have an Icons character in less than half an hour with both drinking and a lot of goofing off.
Yeah,
I think
a lot of horsing off.
Yeah. Hey, I'll send you this character. Maybe we can draw up a quick black and white sketch for him or something. And
I'll do you full color. Don't you worry about it.
Okay. I appreciate it, Dan. All right.
Everyone always assumes they're like, you could maybe draw a stick figure and put it. Let's do the whole thing, because if I do one thing, I'm going to get into it, and then I'll draw the whole thing. I think I described myself to you when we first started working together on War Games, that, and I told Charles Phipps this as well, that I'm like that French girl in Real Genius. Like, if I'm not doing something, I'll just do something anyway. And then finally Charles goes, you should really be charging people for what you're doing. I was like, yeah, you know, maybe I could. Because my Atomic Think Tank thing started with just doing free sketches for people and doing free stuff. I was like, yeah, just give me stuff to do because otherwise I won't have any practice, you know.
But, E equals MC splat.
Yes. Oh, man, that's a good one.
I don't know if I call it a
smash.
I don't know if I'd call that.
Hulk, maybe.
Yeah, E equals. I don't know. Yeah, well, fuck it. Oh, sorry. It's not my family podcast anymore. All right.
You should play like a turkey gobble when that. that noise. Although now it's going to be really meta. Like, they'll hear the turkey gobble, and be like, what the hell was that? And then I'll talk about it, and they'll wonder what you said.
This is getting so recursive. This is crazy. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, so Icons, it's out. It's not out now. It's out in a week and a half.
Oh, man. Don't tell some people it's out. They will freak out.
Yeah,
it was out for folks who pre-ordered it. but it will be out on June 1st.
June 1st, available RPG Now, and then at Gen Con, you guys will be competing with DC Adventures.
No.
No?
Listen, I'm not competing with anything created by Bob Kane. I'm not going to be competing with Superman. However, we would like your attention, so if you do want to buy Icons, definitely do that. But I'm going to be standing in line beside the folks who are buying DC as well.
Okay, so it will be available at Gen Con and shortly thereafter at your friendly neighborhood game shop?
Absolutely. In fact, yeah, one of my friendly neighborhood game shops asked me to be there for Indie Gaming Day to run a sample game of Icons.
And when is Indie Gaming Day, and where is this store?
Indie Gaming Day is going to be on June, I want to say 28th, let me look at my calendar, and it's a Saturday, and it's in at Pegasus Games in Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay, so...
It's 26th, I think.
June 26th, Pegasus Games. This is your chance to game with the hardest working man in RPGs, Dan Houser, ladies and gentlemen.
Absolutely.
So, all right, well, hey, Dan, I think we've got a good podcast in the can. Appreciate your
awesome.
Time.
Thank you, Bob.
I will talk to you later.
Anytime.
All right, bye.
Catch you later.